Vanessa, Elise here, having a look at your adaptation and conflict assignment. Thank you for doing this one, and I hope after I've done this that you'll move on really quickly because the next two or three assignments should be much quicker. I know this one, because you had to write three whole stories, took a lot more time, but you should be able to move much more quickly through the next few assignments. So please move on to those as quickly as possible. That being said, I appreciate the fact that you really went into a lot of detail with these three different stories, and they're very interesting and full of really cool specific information. So I really appreciate that. Really, really interesting story of the three pigs, a really different approach. You know, that there's all that the brick house already exists, and because of a fight, the other two go make their other houses, and then they wind up back in the one house. Really interesting, very different approach to the story, and I quite liked it. If I were to say something about where this goes, I think there aren't a lot of specifics about what they were fighting about, and is it just the fact that they needed shelter that they wound up back together? It's only at the very end that you say, while the three little pigs tried not to bicker in their brick, still standing Victorian home. So tried not to, I don't know that that's a happy ending. Like, what did they really learn? I don't like this person, but I'm safer in their house. So I think you'd want to dig a little bit deeper to figure out what else do they learn that allows them to be together, and in a way that they appreciate what they had a little bit more. I think that's where you're headed, but I think that you could have used a few more specifics for that. And it's so much fun that your wolf has hay fever. That was hysterical. And the way, oh, and I loved that. See, this was a really lovely specific that when the wolf woke up, he discovered that he was floating down the river tied to a raft made of sticks with a blanket made of straw and shoes made of bricks. That's hysterical. So really nice use of detail there. So nicely done. Man versus himself, Michael, who meets the woman and drives her home and then sort of chickens out. And okay, so interesting. And you've created a really interesting character here, that he has this sort of dark side to him and this insecure side to him that makes it hard for him. So somehow wherever there, though, he manages to meet her, and they have a really they have a very strong connection right away that makes them extend their time and makes her, you know, miss a flight and drive home with him instead. It's a lot, right? And then, so the fact that when he goes back home, he doesn't respond to her at all. And the next thing that happens is, so does she try to contact him? Does he just not? I think you say during the drive, okay, so he decided to be a man. So when she reached out, he didn't respond. So he reaches out and she doesn't respond, but then she sends him this little birthday thing, which encourages him to go, to change his mind and go back. I would love for you to explore a little more deeply. In this kind of a situation, what I always wonder is, why would she take him back? They had this wonderful time together, and then he totally cut her off. It would take more than just showing up at the door for me. Part of it could too be that when they are first getting together, he could be very clear to her about some of his demons, so that she understands a little bit more maybe when he cuts her off, and that's why she can be understanding. Because otherwise, you know, he just ghosted her, and then when he shows up, they start a life together. So I would need to see a little bit more clarity. How hard did she try to get in touch? Because it's not just his job. How did she understand why he didn't get back to her? And the moment, and this is something that I really, especially in a musical, I really push people towards. On the moment of a big change for him, if it comes because he receives this water bottle and a note, it's a very private moment. It's a very internal moment. And I really push people to try and figure out ways that this kind of an epiphany can happen in a more outward setting. You know, that maybe she shows up at his door with the water bottle, or I don't know what, but I feel like the fact that he makes this decision all by himself, alone with a note, is harder to dramatize when it comes to dramatizing things, and harder for us to understand why she would accept it. So I would just go more into that. The other thing is, I got a little bogged down by the geography. You might have had something in mind, but it seemed like he stopped in Phoenix and she was going on to Sacramento. So he talked her out of going to Sacramento and drove her from Phoenix to Sacramento and then went home, which I assume was Phoenix. So if you're telling me that then on his 40th birthday, he walked from Phoenix to Sacramento, is that what happened? So, you know, that's it would be really tough for me to understand. And for her too, she sent him a birthday gift. How long would it take him to walk from Sacramento to, I mean, from Phoenix to Sacramento. You say something about a 2-hour jog to Sacramento, but I don't, but that's from Mammoth. He had to get to Mammoth first and do the Pacific Trail and all that kind of stuff. So you're thinking that it must have taken him a week or two. He left the house only prepared for a light run. So there's something interesting here, but you'd have to really explore. And the fact that she, in the meantime, doesn't know. She just thinks he got his birthday gift and didn't respond. And, you know, a week and a half or 2 weeks go by and she hasn't heard boo from him. So there's something interesting here, but I would want you to delve a little bit more deeply into the relationship between the two of them, not just as his epiphany, but how it connected with her. But very detailed and interesting and fun stuff. The Boondog Saints, I will tell you right away that I haven't seen that movie, and I did a quick Google search and read it, and boy, it is a, because I had this feeling anyway when I read your adaptation of it, that it's very morally ambiguous, to put it mildly, and I can see that the movie is too. So I can see that you're leaning into that. It's really tricky. In the, what I read about the Boondog Saints, they go and they find bad people and execute them. Maybe you were trying to lighten that by having them just kidnap them, but the visualization in my mind of these rooms that are filled with quote unquote bad people who are begging to get out just is it's pretty rough, and it's dark, and I'm not against dark stories, but I think at the end of the day we sort of have to understand, and again this goes back to the movie, so I don't fault you. In the movie they're deemed saints by the end of it, and they get to do this, and so I think that's why you head for this idea that at the end of the day they get away with this. But it is morally very, very, morally and ethically very, very difficult to understand how I can understand these characters who feel that, it's sort of the Old Testament eye for an eye kind of thing. If you kill, then me killing you is somehow okay. And that's pretty rough to take ethically because they're vigilantes. They're taking the law into their old hands. These people aren't getting trials, etc., etc. So, but I can see where you took it from. You took it from the very morally ambiguous and dark movie, and so you came up with a very morally ambiguous and dark story. So, and I do love the way you adapted it and the way you changed it to be more about violence against women, and that they were particularly looking for a way to protect women. So, I personally would hate to think that the way that women protect themselves from violence from men is by turning violence on men. On the other hand, I totally understand, that as women, what else are we supposed to do when we're constantly in this situation? And even good men don't seem to realize. Just this morning, I think I was watching something where someone was going out, and I remember in my head I was thinking, well, you shouldn't go out, you shouldn't take that walk on your own. And then I thought, but she's just a woman going for a walk. Why does she always have to think, oh, I shouldn't take this walk alone because, someone might attack me? A man doesn't think about that sort of thing, and we're sort of raised that way. So it's interesting to approach it in this very dark way. It's troubling but interesting, and I have a feeling that the movie based it on is also troubling but interesting. So that's cool. I think that's all very, very interesting. Was there anything else I was going to? Oh, the only other thing I was going to ask, this is a small thing, but you said she accessorized with an anti-roofie green scrunchie, and I'm just wondering, how can a scrunchie be anti-roofie? You don't explain that. And then I also it was also v deeply wounding that the other woman was attacked by the two men that they thought were their friends. So I'd want a little bit to know a little bit more about what is the background, how long have they been friends, why did they t wait this long to attack her, how did they not see this? So again, really, really tricky that this could happen with men that were supposed to be their friends. So as I say, deeply troubling, but in that way, very interesting. So well done. Please go ahead and move on to the next couple of assignments and try to crank those out as quickly as you can, Vanessa, and let's get this thing done, okay? Thanks, and toodaloo.